proceed with the next case, then, United States versus Jose Castaneda. Mr. O'Malley.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. Jose Castaneda Galvin was convicted by a jury of attempted escape from the Allen County Jail while he was there pursuant to a federal detention order. The issue before you is whether there was sufficient evidence from which a rational trier of fact could have found that the essential elements of the crime of attempted escape, beyond a reasonable doubt. There's two elements to the crime. We concede the first element, specifically whether the Allen County Jail is has a contract for holding federal detainees, and it does. And furthermore, that Jose was there pursuant to an order issued by Judge William Lee. So that
was
element.
He wasn't serving his sentence there, was he?
No, sir.
It was pre-trial.
He was waiting
sentencing.
Waiting
for sentencing.
Yes, Your Honor. The second element is whether Jose knowingly attempted to leave the custody of the Allen County Jail without authority to do so. The standard of review, I think both sides agree upon it, is whether, after viewing the evidence in a light most favorable to the prosecution, any rational trier of fact could have found the essential elements of the crime beyond a reasonable doubt. To find the essential elements of the crime beyond a reasonable doubt, the jury had to believe William Middleton, the government's witness, who was the occupant of the cell in which the glass was being cut, the window was being cut. Middleton testified that initially they attempted to start their escape route 2 days before. They did it, according to Middleton, by heating up paper, inserting screws into the window, which would form a starter hole. Now, they got these screws because they stole a switch plate from an adjoining cell and used that as kind of a screwdriver. And then once the screw holes were made, according to Middleton, they proceeded to put a paper clip or a hook device on a piece of twine, feed it through the window, feed it through a bottom hole that was in the window, and then saw the window with twine. We submit that that defies the laws of nature. You can't saw the window with twine.
What would they have been doing?
Your Honor, we don't know why those holes, those initial screw holes, were put there. There's, in fact, a picture of them.
Yeah.
And you can see that there is indeed a hole. It's on the record at page 142. There is indeed a hole up there. And this is what Middleton claims they cut with a piece of twine. But he said that that attempt failed, Your Honor, and so that they then resorted to trying to burn their way out. Now, Confinement Officer Compton testified that these burn marks that are indeed there in the window are approximately 12 by 8. That means that if they had completed their task of burning out these two, well, there would have to be two more cuts made, and if they had burned completely through the window and punched it out, there is another piece of plate glass behind that, but the hole through which they would escape would have been 12 by 8. As measured by Officer Compton. That would be approximately the size of this brief, which is 8.5 by 11. And it would be situated as this brief is situated. Now, two grown men cannot escape through that brief, through the hole the size of this brief. So the question is, again, was the jury crediting testimony that defied the laws of nature? Because the United States government has properly cited Mancillus, U.S. v. Mancillus, as saying, standing for the proposition that the trier credibility determinations will stand unless the trier of fact has credited testimony contrary to the laws of nature.
Well, so, this was charged as an attempt, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
Obviously, because they didn't succeed in getting out and
yes, Your Honor.
Apprehended on the other side.
Yes, Your Honor.
And so just because it wasn't ultimately, or perhaps wasn't ultimately going to be successful, doesn't mean it's not a completed attempt, if you will.
That is correct, Your Honor. I would agree with you. However, it can be seen from the photo of the hole. This was as big as they were going to make it. They had completed the one long cut and one cross cut. So there only remained one further cut. So they were going to attempt to do the impossible. It's quite obvious.
The possible explanation for this is that they're going to make up a formula for tattoos.
Yes, Your Honor, I believe that that's the only one I can come up with based upon the evidence.
They had to get this plastic and all that.
Your Honor.
And the curious thing to me is you've got this plastic baby oil thing sitting there.
Yes, Your Honor.
If you go about doing a tattoo, it seems to me they'd melt that, wouldn't they? They want a little plastic rather than taking out this whole window and other things. Gee, there they had it right there. Maybe they could even use the cap and melt that and have some plastic to do tattoos, even though the tattoo mechanism may be 10 or 15 years old. They use ink pens now, they say.
Yes, Your Honor. There is ink pens there, and but the
an awful elaborate thing to do in order to come up with a tattoo.
It was, Your Honor, and I suppose in a way it reminds one of the cartoons that Rube Goldberg used to draw in the Sunday paper. They're these incredibly complex contraptions to do a simple task. I can offer no explanation as to why they didn't melt down the baby shampoo bottle, Your Honor, itself. The baby shampoo was clearly used to create this wick, and there's several wicks.
Counsel, on your Exhibit 4, that's the photograph with the that shows the cuts.
Yes, Your Honor.
Was there any testimony with regard to other holes and it looks like cuts to the left of the one in question?
Yes, Your Honor. This is the hole that Middleton claimed that they made 2 days before with the screws that failed. And they were making this cut with twine, according to Middleton. The notion, Your Honor, I think, is that the plastic, without getting into so many of these elaborate details, as Your Honor said, the idea is that they pumped the water out of the toilet that was in the cell. Now, Middleton claimed that if you did that, it created a vacuum. There was no water in there, and the smoke would then go down the trap. And it would
use their mattress for that.
Yes, Your Honor. Yes, they did.
They didn't plan to spend the night, did they?
yes, they did, Your Honor.
Well, whatever.
And the
it was his mattress. Whose mattress was this?
Middleton's, Your Honor, not Castaneda Galvin's. But
I can understand that.
Castaneda Galvin's side of the story was that the smoke was the plastic was burned in the empty toilet, which created the smoke, which rose into a paper bag, which indeed is there in the room. And then the soot that collects is mixed with shampoo or baby oil to create a tattoo ink. And that was Castaneda. Now, there was evidence by one inmate that Middleton had, that was Dennis Epps, that Middleton had told him, yes, they were going to make a tattoo. There was another inmate, Antoine Gray, who testified he was the purchaser of the tattoo. He was going to pay four or five candy bars for it.
Apparently, tattooing is not looked upon favorably by the prison officials either, is it?
That is correct, Your Honor.
But they're not supposed to do that.
That is correct, Your Honor. Thank you.
Mr. Holler?
Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the Court. Counsel is attempting to re-argue the case that he made to the jury. The jury was presented with two versions of events, one from Mr. Middleton, that this window was burned and gouged to attempt to push this out and if necessary, go further out to get out of the window to escape from the jail. And Mr. Castaneda, who testified that essentially he didn't really know this was being done until he walked into the cell and that he believed it was being done to melt plastic to use to make tattoos. The jury heard both of those witnesses and was allowed to judge their credibility and look at the physical evidence and make a determination. And there was sufficient evidence from which they could conclude beyond a reasonable doubt that the correct resolution and that what actually occurred was an attempt, as Judge Sykes pointed out, an attempt to escape from the jail. The testimony was, as I believe, Mr. Judge Kaney, you asked, or Judge Mannion, that this was the first attempt that was made 2 to 3 days prior to the attempt that was caught. They were trying not to burn their way through, but to use strong twine from mattresses, screws, gouging it out with the metal plate, and copper wire, all of which they had absconded with at the Allen County Jail, to try to get out. They had worked on this for a few hours, realized they weren't getting anywhere, and then came up on the November 18th with the burning plan. Certainly under these circumstances, in light of all of the items that were found in the room and in light of Mr. Middleton's testimony, a jury could believe that there was an attempt being made to escape. Mr. Middleton testified that they believed if they could get their head through, they could somehow, through force or something or else, wriggle their way through. As we sometimes say...
Was Middleton a federal prisoner?
It is, Your Honor, the stipulation that was put in is that it's a agreement. There is an agreement between the Attorney General, the Bureau of Prisons, with Allen County to maintain pretrial detainees. And under the case law, any state facility that, through agreement with the Attorney General, is housing them is
through
sufficient.
The Marshal Service. I understand it.
I'm sorry?
I say through the Marshal Service.
Yes, it's contracted through the Marshal Service. It's an agreement. The agreement itself, I believe, was stipulated to, and the exact agreement was described and was stipulated.
But my question to you was, was Middleton also a federal?
No, he was not. He was a state pretrial detainee. I think he was in the same. I think all of these B Block prisoners, Mr. O'Malley, you know, were people who had been pled guilty and were awaiting sentencing. But he was awaiting sentencing on carjacking charges in Allen County and Fort Wayne. The state and federal are intermixed in Allen County. I don't think there are sufficient numbers of federal detainees to house them separately. But we would submit, again, Your Honor, that this was a case where the jury heard all the testimony, looked at all the physical evidence, and could come to its own conclusion. You know, Mr. Castaneda testified that he had previously made tattoos by burning paper chip bags or bottles. There was no evidence that anyone would ever have used plastic from a window in light of the greater ease with which one could use other plastic items in the jail. If the court has no further questions, the government would submit that this testimony combined with the physical evidence was sufficient for the jury to find the facts and to find beyond a reasonable doubt. I'm happy to answer any other questions the court has on the facts, but otherwise I would stand on our brief.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
I think you've got about a minute left.
Your Honor, I would, by way of rebuttal, only point out that the copper wire was not actually used, according to Middleton, for the purpose of cutting the glass. It was actually used to thread the twine through, which was going to cut the glass. And I think that is the only partial factual inaccuracy brought out by counsel. I agree with counsel. I agree there was a credibility decision which had to be made by the jury. They either believed Middleton or they believed Jose Castaneda Galvin. They were the only two people in the room that could have possibly said what they were doing. It's our contention that in relying on Middleton, they believed testimony which defied the laws of nature. Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay, thanks. And you were court appointed as well, right? Well, thanks for taking the client and doing the good work for him.
Thank you, Your Honor.
This case will be taken under advisement.